Hello, my name is Brian Ivashelsky, and welcome to the Over the Counter podcast. Today, we're joined by Julia Vu, Executive Vice President of Public Policy and Professional Relations at NCPDP. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Greetings to everyone who's joining our podcast today. A little bit about my background prior to stepping in this EVP role here at NCPDP in March. My background was in hospital pharmacy practice where, like the pharmacists on the call, during night shift in the pharmacy, I thought, what if I can improve my clinical solutions so I could focus on clinical checking? So from there, the last 12 years were focused on EHR certification, global expansion, drug formulary integration with Cerner, and then in the last 3 years with AI-powered clinical decision support with Elsevier. In the last 2 months, as Brian mentioned, joining NCPDP, I've jumped right into standards and interoperability discussions in our industry. So whether from the CMS health tech ecosystem last month or our recent advocacy or healthcare education tour this month on the Hill, my focus continues to be the same: improving and optimizing the workflow for the clinician, optimizing access to medications for patients, and now more than ever at scale with our pharmacy infrastructure that enables it between.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for that, Julia. These topics are currently also hot topics with our over-the-counter podcast listeners and just pharmacy professionals across the country. As you mentioned, back from your recent advocacy tour with NCPDP in Washington, D.C., I'd like to learn more from your insights on interoperability. So from medication affordability, prior authorization, DTC, and AI integration toward rural health and pharmacy access. So really going to dive into a lot of that today, and I'm excited to have you today. So really, to start us off, the 2026 CMS Interoperability Standards and Prior Authorization for Drugs proposed rule aims to extend electronic prior authorization requirements to drugs covered under both medical and pharmacy benefits. From your perspective on your latest advocacy tour on the Hill, how will the proposed adoption of NCPDP standards help align these processes to reduce patient wait times and administrative burden in this evolving prior authorization space?
Great question. Especially with the CMS proposed rule, as Brian mentioned, focused on medication prior auth, it is a very exciting time for us in the industry. For this question, I'd love to start with all of us thinking of ourselves as patients. What do we do when we get a new script? We ask ourselves, does my plan cover it? How much does it cost? And am I going to need prior authorization to get to my medication? Us folks on the line know that our standards power that today. So when you go to your pharmacy counter, you know what your copay is in seconds. And those are powered by our three standards that are also named in the CMS proposed rule: formulary benefit, real-time prescription benefit, and our script standard, two of which are also named in HTI-4 for those available for the pop quiz later on. So back to Brian's question, why does this matter? If you are already getting your information in seconds at the pharmacy, what this proposed rule is orchestrates that whole end-to-end experience for us as patients. So whether we are in our doctor's visit while they're in front of the EHR, our standards can flow through there into the pharmacy. And what I like most about the proposed rule, amongst many things, is the turnaround times that are defined there. The time that you leave the doctor's visit, the time that you leave the pharmacy visit. What does turnaround time or what does real time look like? I'll tie this home to a close as well, that on NCPDP's front, this is one where, in addition to the proposed rule, we work with CMS on an electronic prior auth or EPA roundtable as well. So this one is where we are taking a conscious effort to convene the industry from physicians, pharmacists, payers, as well as my old colleagues in the EHR and e-prescribe world to really define what those turnaround time metrics and what we can do to optimize this rule together.
Awesome. Perfectly said. Yeah, obviously, to me, it's very much timing is a big theme kind of within this prior authorization landscape. I was actually able to join NCPDP last year to kind of learn more about this EPA and how it's really revolutionizing when and how patients get their medications. I really appreciate you kind of starting your response with from the patient perspective, making that easier to understand of like how important this really is and where it's going and how it's really going to improve outcomes, improve access entirely. So we could probably sit here and talk about prior authors.
We could.
But we'll definitely get into some of those other topics that you've been definitely on the ground researching and within in your role. So how can NCPDP's existing standards ensure that direct-to-consumer prescription programs are transparent and seamlessly integrated at the point of care, both for patients and pharmacists? So within the DTC space, it's definitely growing right now. How do NCPDP standards fall in line?
Oh, great question. D2C or cash pay topics have been a hot topic in the last week. This was one of the items that we talked about on the Hill last week as well. A lot of our conversations revolved around balancing affordable medication options through D2C, as well as safe medication practices for the fellow pharmacists on the call with me. Related to that, there is a wonderful piece of legislation that came out last month, Every Dollar Counts Act. And with this, with those D2C programs, it's great to have these options available for patients. But what if it could be applied to the deductible? So we talked about this on the Hill in two fronts. Number one, what if your insured price with your plan was lower than your D2C cash price? Wouldn't you want your insurance to be applied towards your preferred pharmacy? And this is where our real-time prescription benefit RTPB standard fits in to have that information real-time, as I mentioned earlier, with the CMS proposed rule. Another item that we talked about on the Hill, again, with balancing affordable meds, is also balancing safe medication practices. So what if your D2C or your cash pay GLP-1 interacts with your meds that you pick up at your neighborhood pharmacy? So how do we tie that together? So here at NCPDP with my colleagues, we are about to kick off our D2C Stakeholder Action Group, or SAG, where, like our CMS roundtable with my colleague Pooja, my colleague Rick and I will be convening industry experts on D2C on those elements of safety elements of what do you need for safe drug-drug interaction checking, and how do you see that end-to-end workflow from the point that the patient goes on the e-commerce site and purchases that medication, and he or she may or may not need a pharmacist in the loop. So those are the items that we're talking about today.
Awesome. Perfectly put. Yeah, I'm sure this is obviously not new to you, but NCPDP standards and all these great ongoing kind of initiatives are, they breed interoperability. That's what we're here to talk about right now. But you see that, and just right now in pharmacy, getting everyone on the same page and getting them not under one roof, but just united in care. I've had a lot of conversations on various disease states and how interoperability is a challenge, and connecting clinicians, pharmacists together is a challenge. But with these things rolling out, it's definitely showing a light at the end of the tunnel to really improve care and make all of this data, all of this new technology operate smoothly. So speaking of the technology, I want to kind of move into another very well-known development right now in pharmacy, and not just in pharmacy, but everywhere in the world right now, is AI. So how do you envision NCPDP's role in right now or in the near future? And what industry collaboration do you foresee?
Yeah, great question. It wouldn't be a proper podcast in 2026 without AI, right? So I'm glad that you asked that, Brian. AI has certainly been transformative in the last 2 years. From my background in AI-powered clinical decision support in the last 2 years, there has been a lot of great advancements there. Going back to our visit on the Hill last week, that conversation went back to how Brian queued us up right now, where it is AI with interoperability rather than AI alone. So the problem that we're looking at now is just like with the D2C question that you had asked, we move forward, but how do we make it even more so better? So with that, what we're looking at together as an industry, we're looking at what do we do with all those great AI-generated prior auth templates in the EHR today from these wonderful ambient agentic vendors as well. But I think of one of my colleagues that is CMO in the e-prescribe space. Prior auth still feels like a game to some of us, where each of us has our own set of rules. So what we're looking at NCPDP with our partner SDO organizations, industry leaders, and our task groups is, how do you standardize the communication, the criteria within prior auth, whether it's from the AI agent in the EHR to another agent in the payer side? How do we orchestrate that together? and how to, and tying it back to how we started the call. How do we make this work for the patient? So related to that, I had mentioned the task group. Our pharmacy technology innovation task group is working on this right now, where we're looking at that problem and how do we solve that with standards so that, related to our conversations on the Hill, it is interoperable AI rather than AI on its own. So we're really excited to jump in this next era of transformation of AI and interoperability.
Awesome. Yeah, obviously, still so much more to come within this space. And like I mentioned with the just NCPDP being able to bridge so many gaps in interoperability, communication within just healthcare as a whole, obviously, your jobs aren't getting any easier. But at the same time, there's so many tools, standards, and things that are coming out that are helping things kind of move forward in this evolving landscape. Cool. So kind of wanted to talk about a little more specific initiative within NCPDP and then move toward the pharmacist in general and to kind of cap this conversation off. But can you explain what the Rural Health Transformation Program is and what tools are being used to facilitate its success?
Wonderful question. This certainly came up as a big focus area on the Hill, an education topic on the Hill last week, that the Rural Health Transformation Program, high level, is there is $50 billion of federal funding allocated to the states over a period of 5 years based on their strategic plans. What is that money going towards? There are focus areas on rural health, disease prevention, disease management as it relates to access to care, as well as the infrastructure and the connected data behind that. So one of the items that we look towards in NCBP in our pharmacy scope is there are about 9 states that have outlined the expanded scope of pharmacist practice. As a pharmacist myself, this very much energizes me with leveraging us as that clinician, that caregiver that can be that quick access point to a patient. Now, with that, again, with the theme of our podcast today, how do we optimize that even more? Pharmacists have, for example, pharmacists in Ohio. The plan, the strategic plan in Ohio calls for pharmacists to have access to the EHR for that continuity of care. So that's what we're looking at right now with NCPDP and our members as well, where we have a ShoreLink, our standards-based connection layer, that uses that anchor of patient identity matching by supporting that. And from that, we can connect pharmacies to these public health measures, such as obesity management, diabetes management that rural health is looking at, and tying that with the GLP. So tying our whole conversation together, whether you're taking a D2C medication that you've purchased online, or you are in a state that is measuring rural health transformation program outcomes, this is what interoperability sits at the center of, powering that and connecting to that together at a standards-based layer that any provider or any health system or any health technology can dial into.
Awesome. That's great. Taking the pharmacist roles in many states and putting that on a federal level, going to conclude this conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time to really touch on various aspects of just what's going on within your organization and the greater pharmacy and even beyond pharmacy, the landscape as a whole.
And for that one, if I may, Brian, sorry to interrupt you.
No, of course.
For folks just jumping in right now, I think it's great to all put our pharmacist hats on that over the last 15, 20 years, our scope of practice has expanded where we're doing a lot more clinical services. But with that, we need our tools to expand with us. So it's great to be with NCPDP to support that for my fellow pharmacists on the call.
Awesome. Kind of just going to conclude here with my last question is, how is NCPDP helping to ensure pharmacists are recognized as clinicians that can be effectively bill for advanced services? So not only just the pharmacist's value as a clinician, but also their ability to make revenue, generate revenue for themselves, for their pharmacies within these services.
Great question to land on. Related to this, when we were on the Hill last week, this also aligned with the time that the Main Street Pharmacy Access Act, or the ECAPS bill, went through the House Ways and Means Committee. So with this one, for folks dialing in, this bill supports pharmacist testing and treatment services for respiratory conditions. Expansion upon what we did during COVID and supporting that as well. So we are currently working on those steps of clinical services reimbursement, as Brian mentioned. So we're doing this on a few levels. So from my role, I have the honor of serving on our PICSA Alliance, Pharmacy Interoperability and Clinical Services Alliance, that has fellow pharmacists and our fellow pharmacy peer organizations represented in finding the best way forward for this clinical services. So again, it's very exciting that this bill has passed through the House, and we're also doing parallel work on that. And then lastly, today, pharmacists, everyone on the line can bill for your clinical services using our NCPDP telecommunication standard. Our pharmacy services billing task group also has developed a guidance document to assist with implementation. So certainly reach out to me after the podcast and we can support all the folks that are excited about this bill, already doing clinical services and need that infrastructure and implementation support on the back end to get them up and running.
Awesome. Perfect way to cap this off. Obviously, we at Drug Topics encourage all pharmacists to check out NCPDP, their offerings, their developments, really how they're revolutionizing pharmacy as a whole. And Julia, we really appreciate you joining us to talk about what's going on, what's been going on this past year, and how that's going to be taken into the future and be played out within this ever-evolving landscape. So I really appreciate you taking the time today.
Exciting times. Thank you for having me, Brian.
Thanks so much.